Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
May the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen.
Amen.
See if I can do a better job with the adults. Peace be with you. Those were the first words that the risen Christ gave to his disciples. It wasn't just a greeting. It was a proclamation. It's a proclamation for the fulfillment of Christ's promise, "My peace I leave with you." Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his feet, his hands, his side, the wounds of the crucifixion that are now the marks of his victory. And also, in this encounter, he breathes on them, the Holy Spirit. Creation being renewed, much as God breathed life into Adam, Jesus breathes life into his disciples. They are recreated, born again, not from the womb, but from the Holy Spirit, even Thomas. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there that first day when Christ appeared to the gathered disciples in Galilee. Perhaps he was grief-stricken. Moved beyond the comfort of company. Maybe he just needed to be alone in his sorrow. Whatever the cause, that absence continued to define him for the next 2,000 years. Doubting Thomas. We use that to describe anyone who is skeptical, reluctant, resistant in their faith. And in doing so, we've been a little unfair to Thomas and dishonest with ourselves. Decades after these events, the last disciple died, and with that last person to have been with Jesus, to have seen him and touched him, That physicality, that humanness of it, was gone. But in the words spoken to Thomas, Jesus is also speaking to us and getting us ready for the experience of himself, not based solely on sight, but in belief. We don't know what actually happened in that room with Thomas, the others. Jesus spoke the invitation to touch and see, but we don't know if Thomas actually did. What matters is that Thomas, having heard the voice of Jesus, then proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." That's the homily most of you expected to hear this morning. But the reason that I like to come up here is that I always focus on little verses, things that, why didn't the priest talk about that? So that's why I'm here, because I get to do that. So, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Thank you. So, Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit, and in his next breath, he hands them something else, the power to forgive sins or to retain them. Did you catch that in the gospel? Jesus came among them and said, "Peace be with you." After showing them his hands and his side, he said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And then this line, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, the gospel spends a lot of time talking about Thomas and his interaction with Jesus, but we also have this verse. Jesus talking to his friends, his disciples, of something that could be considered yet another commandment. We can forgive or we can retain. Jesus doesn't say, decide who is worthy and then act on it. He breathed the Spirit into them and then speaks of forgiveness. This is not a power solely given to priests so that they can gatekeep grace. It's an invitation to be the givers of that same grace given to us all. We have the rite of reconciliation in the Book of Common Prayer. Reconciliation is available to all who seek it. Page 446. Another Christian may be asked to hear a confession, but it must be made clear to the penitent that absolution will not be pronounced. That's the gatekeeping that Mother Anita does. Instead, a declaration of forgiveness is provided. It's not about judging the other person. It's about whether the priest, or it's about the priest, or really any of us, including the newly baptized Iris there, if the time is right, we can serve as a witness to the mercy that God has already declared. There's that second part, though. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. They are kept. That's a warning for us. Jesus is telling us what we already know as humans, that we are entirely capable of holding other people's sins against them. We can take some grievances and hold them close to our hearts, refusing to forgive or release that which God has already forgiven. And when we do that, when the church does that, something becomes stuck. Something that was meant to flow freely stops. You know, maybe I was wrong when I said it's a commandment or a commission. Maybe it's more of a call to discernment. Will you be the kind of person through whom forgiveness flows freely? Or will you be the kind of person who holds it back? The Spirit has been breathed into us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus now lives in this community, in this church. What are you going to do with it? One way, one thing, might be to follow Jesus' example. Eat with sinners. Go to your family's Easter brunch, Thanksgiving dinner. Touch the untouchable. Tell the adulterers to go and sin no more. Not stay here and be punished as we talk about you at dinner. All of us right now, all of us carry the breath of Christ. We carry the capacity to speak words over someone that might take the weight off of them that they've been carrying for years. To tell them, I love you. God forgives you. And that's not a small thing. Maybe that's the commission. Go, forgive, release, and trust the Spirit to do what only the Spirit can. Because through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are sent, just as the disciples were sent. Remember, the risen Christ still enters locked doors, still speaks peace into doubtful hearts. Don't fear your doubts. Bring them to Christ. Use your doubts as prayer. And we should all pray frequently, genuinely. Allow those doubts to draw you deeper into the wounds that heal. Mother Anita has been using the phrase good news lately. So here's today's good news. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet come to believe. Remember, doubting can lead us into the mystery of the resurrection, into the peace that surpasses all understanding. Be like Thomas. Have your doubts. But be ready to encounter the living Christ when he comes to you. Ready to say with all your heart, my Lord and my God. Amen. And bless you.